You're listening to Who's Talking with Frank Maloney and Jim Hobbo Hobgood on Fox Sports 910.
All right, welcome back. Who's Talking? Second half hour tonight. Frank and Hobbo in the studio with our new producer-engineer, Josh. And we thank Billy McMullen for joining us in the first half hour. We got Chris Wright of the Sabre waiting momentarily. But before we go to Chris, we're going to do the LeClaire Ryan play of the game. Frank?
With about 5 minutes and change remaining in the contest, fourth quarter up at Pitt at Heinz Field, UVA's Kinane Severin made a brilliant fourth quarter touchdown catch from quarterback Matt Johns in the right corner of the end zone. It made the game very interesting, very exciting. Not sure why they waited so long, but he was clearly the play and player of the game, just to find himself that open that the quarterback got him on the double move. All right, let's jump over to our man, Chris Wright, the editor of the Sabre, former associate editor of the Daily Progress. And prior to that, he was the sports editor of the Cavalier Daily. Hobbo,
is that right?
How about that?
The man is a jack of all trades.
He can write for anybody.
But like me, a master of none. No, that's
any,
not
anybody in Charlottesville.
He is a master of many trades.
Chris, how are you doing, buddy?
Very well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. I know you were at the presser today for Coach London. I know things that he was pleased with. Obviously, the goal line stand and the forced fumble. Fantastic play all the way around. The strip fumble return for touchdown, which was caused by Mike Moore and returned by Quanti Moore, was the first turnover of the season for the Cavaliers. So two huge turnovers caused against Pitt. One saved a touchdown and one was a scoring touchdown play. Talk about that and what a lift it gave to the UVA football team.
Yeah, I thought the one for touchdown was big in particular because they were on the ropes a little bit at that point. I think it was 17-3. Things were not looking very good. And then Mike Moore, you know, dislodges the ball and Quanti Moore recovered it. If it had been ruled a forward pass, it wouldn't have mattered. Then you just call it an interception because he caught it out of the air.
Right.
To return that fumble for a touchdown. I thought that was huge. I think it's a pretty neat story, too. You know, a few weeks ago at the press conference, Quanti Moore was there and talked a little bit about his brother being murdered in Alabama back earlier in his career, and he left the team. And Coach London really worked on bringing him back into the team and how important that was to him. So to see him get, like, a moment in the sun like that was a pretty neat story on top of being a pretty important play to get Virginia back in the game.
Yeah, there was a favorable article about that in the Richmond Times-Dispatch a couple of weeks ago, probably at right after the press conference that you're talking about. Certainly, yeah, but that huge play in the game and a momentum shift that gave the Virginia faithful, like Frank and Hobbo, hope as we watched the game.
And we need hope.
We need hope, yes.
Speaking with Chris Wright here of the Sabre, Chris, left offensive tackle Mike Mooney went out of the game in the third quarter. Important player, to say the least. Anytime a starting tackle goes out of the game, could have been disastrous. And in comes Richmond native Jack English of St. Christopher's fame. He seemed to play pretty well to me from what I could see. I think he wears jersey number 67.
Yeah, he played pretty well when he came in. Virginia helped him a little bit,
yep,
by keeping a tight end over there and keeping some match protection over on that side. But still, I thought he acquitted himself in that game much better than the last time we saw him have to come in relief, which I think was the Florida State game late last year. So I think he's improved over there at left tackle. Virginia has some decisions to make now with the injuries that are going on the offensive line. They had started Jay Whitmire at right guard last week and Ross Burbank at left guard. Do you now move Whitmire with his experience out to left tackle instead of Jack English, or do you go with Jack English there? That's an interesting question. And then how does Jack McDonald figure into this? He started the first game of the year at left guard. If you end up moving a guard, you know, does McDonald then slide in at guard again? So a lot of moving pieces on the offensive line with a lot of injuries up front. They do have some experience to cover for that, but you don't want your offensive line changing its look every other week, I don't think. So some questions to answer, and we'll see which guys step up.
You know, Jackson Mateo got a little dinged up the center for the Cavaliers. And we are very shallow at that position with Eric Tetlow, a Mills Godwin graduate, out for the season. What do you think is going to happen there at center?
Well, Mateo has played every snap this year, so that's huge. I think he's going to be fine. He's in a walking boot, but we're told it's nothing serious. Virginia, I joked with you by email today, Virginia treats walking boots like Tylenol. Put this on and call me in the morning.
Right.
So I think he's okay. But if he doesn't start, or if he's injured again or something like that, then you'll see Ross Burbank move to center.
That would be
the move there. He started 11 games at center last year. And then that brings up the guard question again. Who do you put at guard if you have to move Burbank, you know, Mateo's health dependent?
Sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to interrupt there. Just a question about Ian Fry. What happened on the extra point? What got blocked? And it seems like he's not having the kind of year that maybe we expected him to have.
It started well, made three kicks at UCLA, and then has been pretty inconsistent since then. I didn't look at the blocked kick this weekend real closely yet, but you know, to me, it's just there's something that's going to happen on special teams every week. I mean, I hate to be that negative, but the special teams does something goofy like that every single week, it seems like. A couple weeks ago, it was a punt block. You know, sometimes it's too many men on the field like it was a few years ago. Sometimes it's, you know, they blow a coverage on a return, or, you know, there's always something happening on special teams. That's just one of the many problems that consistently go wrong with this team.
Well, certainly kickoff return has got to be one of the worst in the nation. And typically in the past, punt coverage, and to a lesser degree, kickoff coverage have been weak as well. Punting generally has been okay for Virginia this year. I thought that Conte did pretty well in this last game. He rooted some balls out there, and for whatever reason, Tyler Boyd did not feel those balls. And he got yelled at by his coach quite a bit. I'm not sure I've ever seen a star player shy away from returning punts. Maybe he was just pretty tired. But here's some questions I want to throw at you. Trey Nicholson, he didn't play at all against Boise State, and it really hurt the defense. The start of the Pittsburgh game, the Virginia secondary looked like they'd never taken the field together against any opponent. But then they settled down, and they had a decent game from about the middle of the second quarter on. Is Trey Nicholson going to come back? Do you know what his injury is? And he played special teams, which is dangerous as heck for a fifth and a half senior, whatever he is. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that one's a little perplexing. Coach London didn't elaborate on it today, but he said he expected Nicholson to be part of the game plan for Syracuse and going forward on defense. But for whatever reason, they wanted to get Lattimore, redshirt freshman, in there first ahead of him at Pitt. Now, I don't know if that was injury-related. Coach London kind of played it coy with his answer, but I'm going to guess that was injury-related, and they didn't want to rush him back, similar to Daniel Hamm a few weeks ago, who only played special teams at UCLA because he had a wrist thing going on. I'm guessing something was going on with Trey where they wanted to wait one more week before they put him back in the defensive side. We'll see, but that's what I was getting reading between the lines.
All right, Matt Johns. For whatever reason, over the last few games, he's had really jumpy feet. He seems like a cat on a hot tin roof. He's not setting up tall and strong in the pocket. Is it because the offensive line has allowed too many blowbys, and you know, is radar going off on his head even when he's getting good protection?
He got a little bit better as the game went on Saturday at Pitt, but yeah, I think he looks jumpy too. For different reasons. You know, at Boise State he looked jumpy because he couldn't figure out what he was seeing. You know, you get a three-man rush a lot from Boise State. And they still got back there, but it was because Johns was having trouble with decision-making-wise. The next time they're out on the field, Pitt sends pressure a lot more than just four rushers, and he looked jumpy with, you know, the edge protection in particular breaking down a lot. He wasn't stepping up in the pocket like you would expect. He seemed to run laterally almost immediately versus trying to step up. So he's a little bit jumpy. You know, he's around 50% completions the last two games with four interceptions. That's not going to get it done. Virginia needs better play than that for Matt Johns to have a chance. The upside is he has thrown six touchdown passes this year of 25 yards or more. So that's the upside, that he's getting some big plays. He just needs to be more consistent over the course of the game.
Lord knows, if he kept his wits about him, Thorpe would have given him two more on Saturday. I mean, the guy was 5 yards behind the secondary and just moving out. And first off, I don't even understand how Johns could overthrow him. Is Johns throwing the ball too soon and not allowing Thorpe to get down the field enough? Or is he throwing more of a Joe Namath bullet as opposed to a high-arcing Fran Tarkington easy-to-catch ball?
Yeah, I think it's all throw-dependent, so whichever throw you want to analyze. But I think overall, he's not planting that front foot in the ground and driving through the ball. He's getting rid of it, like you said, rushed, almost like he's trying to get it out quick, but he's not finishing it off. So he'll get it out. He would follow through and really plant on that front foot. He'd have a little more touch on it, I think. Some of that comes from what you're talking about. He may feel like the offensive line is breaking down too fast, and he just doesn't feel comfortable. And you usually start seeing that when quarterbacks don't really load up and follow through onto that front foot. That's usually a sign they're not real comfortable back there.
Chris, what is your expectation coming for homecomings and the game this coming Saturday in Charlottesville at Scott Stadium? Is a 3:30 kickoff. The University of Virginia will host Syracuse Orangemen. Give us three keys.
I think Virginia is better at home. I think that will help. Syracuse is not very good either. so I don't think they're outmatched like they have been in some of these early season games. So to me, the keys are what they are every week. You know, don't turn over the ball. They do that way too often. Don't have like a major scoring fest from the other team. In Tenuta's tenure, John Tenuta, the defensive coordinator, they're giving up about a 1.5 explosive touchdown plays per game. And by that, I mean a touchdown of 25 yards or more. 1.5 per game. You cannot do that and continue to win football games. They gave up another one at Pitt of 37 yards. So that's the other one. You can't give up such easy scores to the other team, even though you want to be a pressure team. You still got to take care of the back end of it. So those are the big deal. The offense turns it over too much. The defense gives up way too many easy scores. And that really, both of those things really take the sails out of momentum and out of emotion and all the things that they go in to try to win in games. If they would just clean up those two issues, they would improve their chances of winning tenfold, I think.
Well, Lord knows we need to win the game Saturday, that's for sure. So hopefully they will clean it up and straighten it out this week in practice and be ready to play Saturday. But anyway, Chris, we thank you as always. The one thing I would point out, basketball season's right around the corner, so that's good news for you and I, because we both like basketball.
Yeah, absolutely. Blue-white scrimmage is less than 2 weeks away. So,
yeah.
So get looking forward to it on noon on the 24th.
Get out the round ball, as they say. But anyway, Chris Wright, we thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chris. All right. We're going to pivot quickly using Habbo's favorite basketball term, because he never was in the pivot. And we've got none other than a newcomer to the show, Ortho Virginia's Boyd Rawls. Welcome to the show, Boyd.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right, so Boyd, judging from your picture on the internet there, you're about 20 years old, fresh out of UVA med school, hardly having finished MCV down at VCU, and already you've got a fellowship under your belt. But congratulations, and we welcome you aboard.
I appreciate that. If you read the the rest of it, I did most of my training at UVA under, the sports guys up there, and, have very close ties to the Wahoos, obviously. So it's a pleasure to be on with you guys.
Well, I did see that you did your fellowship with a focus on hand, wrist, and wrist and upper extremity. There's that term, upper extremity, which the UVA media relations uses all the time now, and that could mean anything. You know, the guy, he's got a headache. He's got a problem with his upper extremity. But so during the game, Mike Mooney went out, number 76, UVA's left tackle.
Yeah.
They showed a couple of angles of the play, and this was the dreaded play where the pile was behind the blocking lineman.
The roll-up, as they say.
And they rolled up on his leg. We talked about this a little bit earlier. What typically happens in that type of play, and How do you help the athlete in this situation recover from the perceived injury to the knee?
Yeah, and that could be any number of things. I think, like you said, that is, the dreaded scenario for you know, for the offensive linemen in particular. And, you know, I think that the most feared injury, obviously there are fractures and other things like that, but, you know, a devastating ligamentous knee injury is the thing that they worry about. And certainly, you know, that's a spectrum too, you know, and I think they're getting an MRI of that. And, you know, I think the kind of prognosis and treatment and, you know, going forward with that athlete depends on, you know, what the severity and which ligaments were torn. So, if any.
Doctor, I'm sorry to interrupt. A lot of these offensive linemen now wear these leg braces.
Mm-hmm.
How effective are they?
They are pretty effective. And, you know, the low-grade sprains, you know, MCL sprains and things like that are reasonably common among linemen. And, you know, a lot of the times these, you know, hinged knee braces allow them to play through injuries like that, you know, during the season, even if they might need surgery after the season's over.
You know, I know one thing that happened at Heinz Field on Saturday was it was reported that Mooney had an X-ray done because it being an NFL stadium, they have an X-ray machine, you know, in their medical offices there. And so they had already done that. So the expectation is there were no broken bones. However, they did an MRI today, and we may not know the answer to that till Thursday when UVA has to release their next injury report prior to the home game against ACC opponent Syracuse. So
right.
Let's hope that Mike Mooney did not tear ligaments. Maybe he's just got a sprain and he can bounce back this season.
Right.
Let's see. There was a player that missed the game that we are looking for here. Hold on. All right. So Andre Lavrone, a very talented wide receiver, missed the game on Saturday and is out for the season with a lower back injury. Typically, this sounds like the dreaded herniated disc.
Yeah.
When you've seen these types of situations and when your colleagues at Ortho Virginia have seen this type of thing, typically what is the rehab treatment strategy and how long?
Again, that's something that's completely variable. And a lot of that is based on, you know, how symptomatic, you know, the athlete is. You know, a lot of things, you know, folks can play through. You know, and if it's something that's obviously affecting his performance, affecting his, you know, daily life and all his other activities, then, you know, that's obviously a little bit more complicated. You know, it can be a long time. It can be months, you know, or as short as weeks. So, you know, again, we're talking about a spectrum of injuries here that, you know, that we have to deal with. So
well, we will have more news on Thursday, and I'll make sure that I forward the next injury report to all the good doctors at Ortho Virginia. And just to tease the upcoming guests, I know that Dr. Vince Dalton and then Dr. Andrew Bogle and Dr. Glenn Kerr will be following you in successive Mondays. And we thank you and everyone at Ortho Virginia for all your support. We're going to head to break. On the other side, Hobbo and I are going to break down this coming week's games and sort of map out the ACC. Thank you, Boyd.
All right. Thank you so much.